Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. Before we begin, let me tell you that our theme is obedience may feel scary, but it is much smarter than disobedience. Obedience may feel scary, but it is much smarter than disobedience. Exodus chapter 4, this is God's word. Moses answered, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, 'The Lord did not appear to you'?" Then the Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" "A staff," he replied. The Lord said, "Throw it on the ground." Moses threw it on the ground and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, "Reach out your hand and take it by the tail." So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. "This," said the Lord, "is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you." Then the Lord said, "Put your hand inside your cloak." So Moses put his hand into his cloak. And when he took it out, it was leprous like snow. "Now put it back into your cloak," he said. So Moses put his hand back into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. Then the Lord said, "If they do not believe you or pay attention to the first miraculous sign, they may believe the second. But if they do not believe these two signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground. The water you take from the river will become blood on the ground." Moses said to the Lord, "O Lord, I've never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." The Lord said to him, "Who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say." But Moses said, "O Lord, please send someone else to do it." Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, "What about your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know he can speak well. He's already on his way to meet you, and his heart will be glad when he sees you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him. But take this staff in your hand so that you can perform miraculous signs with it." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Well, this is a remarkable story. I mean, it's a series of miracles that God does in order to reassure Moses not only that it is God calling him to do this and that he needs to do it, but in order to reassure Moses that he will have a means by which to show the other people that his word is true. God is giving Moses the ability to do signs and wonders, and yet it is God who's doing the signs and wonders. All Moses has to do is obey. And I love the interaction when Moses is saying, you know, I'm really feeling insecure about this. I'm not sure the people are going to believe me. Can you understand why he'd feel that way? He's going to show up after a 40-year absence and say, "Hey, everybody, God sent me." You know, that's a tough sell potentially. So he says, God, what if they don't believe me? And God says, what is that in your hand? Now, God asks a lot of questions in the Bible. All the way back in the beginning, God said, Adam, where are you? When God asks questions, it's not because he needs information. It is not because God doesn't know the answers. I remember years and years and years ago when we were working at a children's home in Mississippi, and the dean of students, who had a background as a very successful attorney, asked me if I would please come and sit in on a meeting where he was going to be questioning a young man who had done something he shouldn't have at the children's home. And so we're all in the room together, and the young man's sitting there, and the dean of students looked at him and he said, I want you to tell me about what happened last Thursday night. And the student says, well, I don't know how much you already know. And the dean said, young man, I learned years ago not to ask a question unless I know the answer. God knows the answers to all the questions. He not only knows what the reality is, he knows what we're going to say. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it, Lord, altogether. God knows everything about you. God knows everything about you. There's nothing hidden from him. The marvelous thing is when we stop trying to pose and posture in front of God and we just get honest, we begin to get free. God knows everything. He knows everything. And so when he says to Moses, what is that in your hand? It's not because he can't tell. It's that God, who knows all things, is teaching Moses. So he says, what is that in your hand? Moses says, it's a staff. Now, what was a shepherd's staff used for? Lots of stuff. It was not only something to lean on. It was also like a big walking stick. It was also something that could be used against a predator that would attack the flock. It had many purposes, and you would not leave home without it. Okay? This is something that you relied on all the time. Think of modern people with their cell phones, multiply it times 10,000, and that's the extent to which a shepherd leaned on his staff. He didn't have a lot of other things, but he had his staff. So he says, well, it's a staff. God says, throw it on the ground. Now, what in the world does God have in mind? Why would I want to do that? There's only one reason to throw your staff on the ground, and that is because God says so. Okay? So Moses does what God says. He throws the staff down on the ground, and immediately the staff is transformed into a serpent. Now, the staff would have been as tall as Moses, so the serpent would have been as long as Moses, and that, folks, is scary. And Moses takes off running, okay? He's barefoot, but he's running, all right? Because this is scary. He ran, and the Lord told him what to do. The Lord said, take it, reach out your hand, and take it by the tail. Now, first of all, I do not recommend picking up snakes. But secondly, if you're dealing with a big, scary snake, there's some debate. I've seen some of the people on TV, and they actually pick up snakes by the tail. But generally, at least in the school of snake handling that I was taught in, you don't go for the tail. Because if you get hold of the tail, that thing can whip back around and bite. If you're going to grab hold of a snake, you want to get it right behind the head. Now, you want to be sure you do that, and I recommend you don't. Okay? But if you're going to grab hold of it, you want to grab it right behind the head so that you control the head and it can swing its tail around all the time, but you've got hold of the part that you don't want to get bitten by. Okay? That's the way you want to deal with a great big snake. Preferably, just don't pick it up. Okay? But God says pick it up, and God says pick it up by the tail. That goes against everything Moses feels in this moment. I want to ask you a question. Which is scarier? Picking up the snake or disobeying God? If you have any wisdom at all, you know that it is much scarier to go up against God.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I wonder if you'd take a moment to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things. First of all, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus
And so Moses, regardless of what he was feeling, did what God said to do. He reached out, he grabbed hold of the tail of the snake, and immediately it turned back into the staff. I don't want to drop it again. Okay? I think I'm just going to hold on to my staff. But that was really cool. That was really cool. All right, I got it. Wow. You are a great God. God says, I want you to put your hand inside your coat. What? Put your hand inside your cloak. So he sticks his hand inside his coat, and it's like, now pull it out. When he pulls it out, he doesn't just have vitiligo like me. He's got leprosy. He has leprosy. His hand is covered with leprosy. It's as white as snow. That is scary. That's a deadly disease. That is a horrible way to go. I do not want this. And it's just happened. And it happened when he obeyed God. Now see, if an American preacher was writing this, we would say he stuck his hand inside his coat, and when he pulled it out, it had a huge jeweled gold ring. Okay? Because we think that if you obey God, that's what's supposed to happen. But God's calling the shots. And so when he obeys God, it looks like things just got a lot worse. I'm not feeling real good about this right now. God says, well, put your hand back in your jacket. He puts it back in and he pulls it back out, and his hand is totally restored. It's totally healed. It's completely fine. In just a few moments, when Moses is trying to talk him out of sending him, Moses is going to suggest to him that he has a physical problem, maybe a learning challenge, maybe an expressive challenge. But he says, I'm really not a good speaker. Why? He's trying to talk God out of sending him. He doesn't want to go. This whole thing is scary. He is frightened. He's afraid the people might reject him. The thing with the snake sent him running in the other direction. Now he's just had a brief bout of leprosy. And God's saying, maybe now they'll believe you. And here's one more thing. You can now turn water into blood. God just told him about that when they didn't have any water from the Nile out here in the desert. But, I mean, this is scary stuff. And so he's going to say, God, I'm not capable. And God is going to say, and we need to get this. Moses said, verse 10, Lord, I've never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you've spoken to your servant. I'm slow of speech and tongue. And the Lord said to him, please get this. Who gave man his mouth? Who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. Do you hear what God takes credit for? God says, I am the one who gives people the power to speak. I'm also the one who takes that away, who makes them deaf or mute. I am the one who gives people the power to see. I am also the one who makes some people blind. Now that does not fit with the way a lot of people like to read this book. God is the one who gives us the power to speak. It's the devil who makes people deaf or mute. Well, does the devil ever do that kind of thing? If you read the New Testament, very clearly so. The woman who was bent over for all those years, Jesus referred to as having been bound by Satan. Another person who was deaf and mute, Jesus cast out a deaf and dumb spirit. So clearly, Satan can be involved in things like this, but God is saying, I rule over all. Satan isn't off doing stuff, and I'm saying, oh, darn. God rules the universe. And so when bad things happen, it's not because God was busy doing something else and he didn't see that coming and thinks, oh, I'll try and fix it. Just give me a little time. I've got so much on my plate. God rules over all. And so whether a person can see or not, God's in control. Whether a person can hear or not, God's in control. Whether a person can speak or not, God's in control. Well, is there a devil? Yes. Does he do harmful things? Yes. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But the devil cannot undo the fact that God is in control. And God has told Moses, I've chosen you, I'm sending you, I'm going to use you, you're going to accomplish this. And Moses is saying, I don't think that's a good plan. I don't want to go. Moses is arguing with God about what God has said is going to happen. That is not a good plan. It may be scary to do what God says, but it ought to be a lot more scary not to. It may be scary to throw down your staff, and even more scary to pick up a snake by the tail. But you ought to be afraid of what'll happen if you don't do what God says. Jesus said, do not fear him who can destroy the body. Rather, fear him who, having destroyed the body, can cast the soul into hell. One of the tragic problems in our culture today is there is no fear of God. God is holy, and God rules the universe. And God is marvelously patient and kind and compassionate. But if you think you can trifle with God, if you think that you can treat him with contempt, if you think you can ignore what he says and nothing bad's going to happen, you need to get an education real fast. It is God's mercy that we are not destroyed. It is because of his compassion that we are still alive. The fact of the matter is that God will judge the earth. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And if you are thinking you can ignore what God says and do as you please, you are headed for disaster. Absolute disaster. Now, the one who fears the Lord, who trembles at his word, God does not despise. God is marvelously kind and compassionate and forgives sinners who cry out to him for mercy. But people who say, "Where is this God? Does he see? Does he know?" The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. If you think that you can just go on your own way and do your own thing and ignore what God says and there will be no consequences, you're wrong. You're absolutely wrong. Moses says to God, "I am slow of speech and of tongue." The Lord says, "Who gave man his mouth? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say." But Moses said, "O Lord, please send someone else to do it." Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, "What about your brother Aaron?" God gave him a solution. But I want you to see that God did it in anger. God wasn't happy with the provision that he gave to Moses. On the one hand, this passage demonstrates for us how clearly God is in control. And it demonstrates for us that God will use people like Moses who are resistant to God's call. That's amazing. But to me, one of the fascinating things is that it also shows that God sometimes goes along with stuff that he doesn't like. Isn't that amazing? I've seen him do it in my life, where God said, "You want it? Okay." And then later I'm like, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Let me tell you something. God will ask you to do stuff and it won't make sense. Still need to do it. God will ask you to do stuff and it'll be scary. Still need to do it. Sometimes you'll do what God says and things will look like they just got worse. My staff turned into a snake. My hand developed leprosy. In both cases, it was because I did what God told me to do. But you see, it was part of a journey. It was part of a process. The end result is that Moses not only had the staff again, but that he now knew how to use the staff in obedience to God in a way that was absolutely supernatural. And God was going to tell Moses throughout his life different things to do with that staff that would result in miracles when Moses obeyed, and would result in judgment when Moses did not obey. May be scary to obey, but it's a lot smarter than disobedience.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.